Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Black Belt Selling with Stephanie and Anna Scheller. I'm Anna.
And I'm Stephanie.
We are a mother-daughter team from South Central Texas, bringing the professional sales training system of Eric Wasselm to the world and combining it with a Black Belt mindset. Black Belt Selling is about taking the mindset, system, and dedication that it takes to become a Black Belt in the martial arts and applying it to the profession of sales. As Black Belts in Taekwondo, we know what it takes to earn that status, and it is our mission to give you the tools, coaching, and training to become confident and successful as a Black Belt in sales. We teach there are three ways to elevate results: inner game, outer game, and action. And today, we have an extremely special guest joining us all the way from Europe, talking to us about blogging, Marco Sarek. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, Marco, tell us a little bit about yourself. Earlier, we were having a conversation, and you were sharing about where you're from and maybe trying to peg your accent a little bit. We're Americans, so we definitely have our own little quirky accent. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, my accent might be a bit mixed because my background is a bit mixed, but I've spent about the last 8 years living in London. Before that, I spent about 8 years living in Denmark, up in Scandinavia. So I kind of, I guess, because of all these years living abroad, I guess my accent also kind of gets a bit mixed and the merge is definitely not easy to guess. And yeah, so I'm blogging on how to make my blog that fun. That's how you guys found me. And yeah, my kind of content marketing background starts all the way back in maybe 1997, 1998, where I first got online. And I started creating websites pretty much shortly after I got online. And the first one I created was about my favorite band back in the day as a teenager in Denmark. It was Metallica. I had like a fan page for them and put a lot of content online. And that got me to, you know, think about marketing and then how to get people to read it and how to create better content. That made me, you know, go to university to become a marketing manager. So that's kind of how my early days of creating content online, and obviously, you know, in mid-2000s or so, then blogging and that 2.0 became the norm. I kind of switched over from, you know, some static HTML website to something more, you know, easier to use like WordPress, and I guess that's kind of also the beginning of my, you know, learning how to use WordPress, you know, how to become a better blogger. And that's also, you know, where I got into a blog about blogging as well. I think that's like 2008 or so.
You know, I wonder how many people can say that Metallica gave them a reason to go to school. probably not that many, but that's really cool. You got started there. You mentioned that you've been doing this for quite a while. What prompted you to start sharing the things that you've learned through your blog? That, you know, how to build up your blog? What made you suddenly decide, you know what, everyone needs to know about this?
Well, so, I mean, so after university, I got a job in a kind of larger company where I was responsible for their content marketing, and that's blogging, social media, and so on. And I guess in that process, in those years working, I got a lot of experience. I saw the kind of benefits of blogging. I saw how useful that tool can be. And I wanted to share it with people. And also, obviously, you know, I'm an ambitious person. I wanna get the word out there, you know. And, you know, as a hobby, my blog kind of started as a hobby on part-time, you know, after working hours. As I was having a full-time job, you know, this was kind of on the side. And just something that I also see a lot of other people do. You know, after your, you know, full-time job, you go home. Maybe instead of, you know, watching TV, you want to do something more, I don't know, useful if you want, something more educational, proactive. So for me, that was when I was a teenager, after school hours, I was doing that Metallica blog. But as I entered the, you know, the business world, you know, after working hours, I started a blog about blogging, kind of to share what I learned in my working hours. So that's kind of the story behind that.
Wow, that's pretty amazing, because I think most people that are probably listening feel that blogging is something that's, how do we fit that in to what we're already doing? And so starting on a part-time basis is probably a great idea for a lot of folks. I think that's really helpful for our listeners.
Especially considering that, you know, just starting a blog today, installing WordPress and creating your first blog post, that means nothing really. You know, there won't be any visitors. You know, nothing will be happening. So, you know, I would normally not recommend for someone, you know, let's quit the job to start a blog, you know, and expect results straight away tomorrow, or expect to replace that income lost with blogging income. So it does work like that in the real world, really. So if you want to be a bit safer, you know, less risky, it's probably the best option to kind of do it in a weekend, in the night, or if you can get away with it, do it in the working hours as well, you know, while you're building something that can eventually become something bigger. But it's not one day thing, it's not the overnight success.
Wait, I thought this existed everywhere. I thought you could have overnight success every time you turn around.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, even in online marketing, there's a lot of people that sell that, you know, they sell this idea of,
right,
you know, quit your job, start a blog, make millions. You know, there's a lot of these courses and a lot of people promising things. And some people, I guess, believe that. But yeah, it definitely, it sets such high expectations that a lot of people, you know, when they actually enter the real world and start blogging and realize that this is actually not as easy as it was sold to them, then they actually quit too easy, you know, too quick, and never actually give themselves a good chance of succeeding.
Yeah, I agree with that. One of the things, Marco, that we teach people, and I'm actually putting together a free report now to help people understand the mindset that's necessary to create mastery. And one, mastery takes time, so you have to give it time. The other thing is that you can't quit at the first sign of challenge or difficulty. It's a little deceiving to believe that I can start a blog today and be rich in a month. I mean, it's blogging, just a form. It's a form of marketing and a form of building trust and rapport with people to help them understand who you are and what value you bring to the marketplace.
And the first challenge, really, for a blogger is already in day one. You know, it's easy to start a blog. It takes 5 minutes, and I have some guides, and it's, you know, you can do it for free and so on. It's easy to get it online and get a domain name and write these first words, but really that's where the challenge starts, you know, getting people in there, improving, creating better content that's of interest to more people and so on. So, yeah, if you're not ready for challenges, you will never get at that day one or day seven or, you know, most blogs that start after a few days period, you know, they're dead and they never, you know, bloggers never come back to them, so.
Yeah. What would you say is the number one, you know, and I had to step away for just a second, so maybe I missed something you had talked about there, but what would you say is the number one mistake that you see people make when they're setting up their blog, the technical side of setting up their blog, not necessarily the inner game where they're, you know, they set it up and expect instant success and fame and then leave it when they don't get it, but the outer game where they actually are going to set up the blog? What's the number one piece of advice you could give our listeners to help them out with that?
Well, one mistake is has something to do with perfectionism. A lot of people, or even maybe fear, if you want, it's kind of, can be both, really. A lot of people would kind of spend a lot of time thinking, planning, designing, kind of making small tweaks and small changes to the idea or to the design or to the whole look and feel, or, you know, a lot of people will spend so much time on it that they will not actually get anything out in the real world, and is it trying to be a perfectionist, or is it kind of being afraid of what's going to happen when you actually get that blog in the real world? I'm not sure. It's the kind of balance between the two. But you know, the more you wait, the longer you wait, the less chance, the less time you're putting into the, so it's the kind of what we just spoke about, the real challenge, which is after you start the blog, that's where the real world begins. So if you're spending 3 weeks, 3 months on trying to figure out the concept or the big plan and idea or the big exclusive, specially, you know, unique design or things like that, if you spend so much time on that, you're wasting a lot of time that could be spent on, you know, building the audience, building your content archives and so on. So I think one of the mistakes is that, and then call it perfectionism or call it kind of fear of the, you know, the unknown. That's what I would say.
Well, I really totally agree with that. We come from the position of completion versus perfection. It's better to get out there and get it done, because the biggest hurdle a lot of people face is getting the first one done, doing the very first thing, whether it's because of fear, whether it's, and really perfectionism is a form of fear. It's really a form of fear because we're afraid of what people might say, we're afraid we're not good enough, or whatever, whatever it is that's holding us back. What would be another common mistake that you find when people are starting with their blog?
Another one would probably be to focus too much on themselves. So a lot of bloggers, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, but a lot of bloggers would, you know, create content about themselves and think that they want to see, you know, it would be kind of more like a private diary, or it would be, you know, it would be something about very, very specific things that only they care about. You know, and that's fine. I mean, if you want to have your blog as your kind of personal diary that your friends might want to look at or your family, that's okay. That's one way of doing it. But if you have some kind of different goals for your blog, if you, let's say, you're going to build an audience or kind of create a name for yourself, then you also have to think about, you know, the people that you want to be, the people that will be in that audience. You know, you have to create, you have to think about them. You have to put yourself in their shoes and kind of try and figure out what questions do they have, you know, what needs do they want to get filled, you know, what type of content can you, from your experience and your knowledge, can you create to kind of satisfy their needs? And that's the best way to kind of get a name out for yourself and get visitors and get traffic and build an audience, really. It's thinking about your, you know, potential visitors, your target audience first before you, you know, create any type of content. Instead of thinking, okay, today I watched this movie, I love the movie, I'm going to write a review about it. You know? So it's that kind of thinking, I think, is another very common mistake.
You know, and I think that's really, that has kind of a double-edged sword there, because, you know, one of the biggest things we hear from people is, oh, I don't know what to say, I don't have anything to say, no one's going to be interested in what I have to say. And I think if people would follow that little piece of advice you gave them right there, and you just sit back and think about who your audience is and what they would be interested in hearing about, you'll find, most people will find that content will start to, the ideas will come to them. They're like, oh, I could talk about this. I could write about this. Well, I bet they'd enjoy this. I bet they'd be interested in hearing about this. And so stuff, ideas, concepts, content will start to come to you. Before you start writing your content, think about who your audience is. So I wanted to hear yesterday. I think that's an awesome addition to what you were just saying. You know, are there any other major flaws that you see people make when they're getting ready to start their blog? Marco? So for all of our listeners out there, we're having some slight technical difficulties. We've you know, anytime you're trying something new, there's always a growing curve and or a learning curve. And so we have been bringing on guests from countries other than the United States, which means we have to find creative ways to get them onto the show. And so oftentimes that involves people or services that are not 100% reliable. I'm trying to find ways to say this without giving away what we're using or anything, but sometimes you use something that's not 100% exactly what you need, or it doesn't provide perfect for you. So that's what we're dealing with right now. We'll bring it back on in just a second. We have him ready to come back in, Mom.
Well, I'm showing that he's having some networking issues. So the good.
Yeah, I'm back here, guys.
Oh, okay, very good. There you are, huh?
No, I'm not sure what, but I don't want to mention it's tight for me. I don't know. Yeah, it's fine. I'm back here. It's a couple of seconds.
Oh, no problem.
I'm not sure where you ended up dropping out. I'm not sure what you heard me say before you got knocked out real quick. You want to catch me up?
Yeah, sure.
Well, actually,
after I stopped speaking, so whatever is next.
Okay. Well, really quick before we continue with the content here, first of all, I want to encourage our listeners that if you're in that, okay, I'm getting ready stage, I want you to check out Marco's blog. His website is howtomakemyblog.com. And that's actually how I found Marco, because I know how important blogging is, and so I was looking for some tips on how to really get started back into blogging, and his website is loaded with a lot of phenomenal ideas, and also, where else can they connect with you, Marco? On Twitter? What is your Twitter handle?
Yes, so Marco Saric, NARKOSARIC, is my full name. And it just goes to howtomakemyblog.com. I have links to Facebook and Google+ and Twitter and so on.
Cool.
There's even a contact form there if somebody wants just to old-fashioned email.
I know.
I love how email is now old-fashioned.
It is. It so is.
Yeah. So, tell me a little bit, Marco. I know there's more than just one kind of blog here. So could you give our listeners kind of the down and dirty quick what kind of blogs, what kind of options they have out there?
In terms of the blogging platforms, you mean, or?
Yeah.
Okay, well, my blog is hosted on something that's called WordPress, and that is the platform that's hosting about 23-24% of all the websites online, so it's quite big even outside of the blogging sphere. So it's WordPress.org. It's like open source, very very kind of advanced, but also very flexible and customizable software. So I use that one, but obviously there are a lot of other ones. I mean, something like Tumblr is something a tool that gets a lot of buzz these days. There's tools like Medium.com. There is even sites like LinkedIn and obviously Facebook, and they all allow you to kind of post not only your short form content, but they allow you to post long form content with added imagery and so on. So these days, it's so easy to start. That's what I said earlier as well. It takes you 5 minutes even to start with the most advanced tool. And takes you even less than 5 minutes to do something like LinkedIn. You just start writing, really. So there's so many tools out there, and I use WordPress. I recommend that for kind of if you want to build a longer term project, because then you get your own domain name and you kind of are in the full control over how you display the content and how you build that audience. But really, LinkedIn, Medium, Tumblr, anything really works. YouTube, if you want to do videos only, there's a lot of these live streaming platforms these days as well. Anywhere, a blog is really basically a place where you can put your content. So whatever fits you best, really.
Right, and I'm seeing the value of that. Also, people may think, well, what can I do? And I know there are different types of blogs in terms of, you can do kind of a narrative of something. One of the things I did yesterday that I needed to create some content, and I'm targeting a specific market in my housing business, and I actually Googled for blogs in my target market, and I picked one of those blogs and commented on it. So I gave credit in my blog to taking the information from somebody else. But so what other kinds of things can people do in their blogs that will bring value to their market? So for me, you know, I quoted somebody. I'm going to obviously market that out. But what other kinds of ways can people generate content or different formats for blogging, not necessarily platforms, but like commentaries or am I being clear? Does that make sense, Marco?
So you're asking, you know, how people can create content that people want, or?
Well, yes, on the different kinds of blogs. Like some people make lists, or some people do stuff like that. So the
right. I think Mom is asking more. You know, there's different types of posts you make. Do you want to tell a story in your post? Do you want to create a list with your post? You know, I know lists. You know, five things that everyone needs to know are super popular right now.
Yeah,
stuff like that. So, what are some more different types of blog posts you can make that kind of vary up? Because you know, variety is a cycle of life. So what are different ways you can make your posts give them a little more variety to keep your readers interested?
Yes. So, I mean, I think there's an article on my blog. There's like 50 different post types you can use, you know, on your blog. But there's a lot of ways to take it. So, for example, most people would just check out the headline of blog posts. You know, they would see it on their Facebook feed or in Twitter and so on, in RSS, on Feedly or whatever. And so it starts really from there. And most people, the most attractive headline, at least, it has proven statistically in lots of studies, is kind of the numbered headline. So 15 ways to do that, or 15 tips to do that, or whatever. So that's why you see a lot of these 15, 10, 5, 2,500 numbers in headlines. Another one that I found very useful, popular, is how to. So basically guides, you know, so where you take a process that's interesting to your audience, then you kind of describe it in the step-by-step kind of points, and you go very practical and very detailed, and you tell them really, these are the 12 steps you need to take to achieve this with this and this tool or to do this and that. So how to is another one that's very popular. I mean, then you can do a lot of good stuff. Like, for example, these days, you know, without great imagery, it's very difficult to get attention, especially on platforms like Pinterest and so on. So you can do stuff like infographics and some other kind of very, you know, larger images. So a lot of that's also a nice, very nice format to use. It really boils down to content, you know, the quality of the content that you post. So as long as you answer the questions that real people out there have and that they cannot get it answered anywhere else, or at least not as well answered as you can, I think that's what kind of opens you up to being discovered by the audience. So focus on that. Focus on answering questions people have, you know, responding to their needs and so on.
Awesome. I know Mom just sent me the message saying, hey, we've got about 10 minutes left. So what are some of the, for you, that you've seen, and what are some of the biggest benefits of blogging? Because, you know, it takes time to blog. And so we want our audience to realize that there's a return on that time that they're going to invest there. So what would you say are the biggest benefits to blogging?
Yeah, I mean, so it's really gives you experience in a lot of different online marketing fields, and it starts from simple stuff like learning a bit more about how web design works, you know, how to set up different things, how to make your website nicer, how to make it look nicer on a mobile phone, you know, how to make it more attractive to people with imagery and so on. So that's one of the things you get introduced to. Another thing, obviously, is writing. You know, you get to write, you know, your first post might be very bad, you know, your mom might read it, but as you go along, you get better at writing. That's a very useful skill to have, even in these days. Then obviously another thing that you really get into is kind of marketing and promotion and trying to get the audience to, you know, to realize that you are out there, that you're creating content, and this also leads you to things like PR and, you know, how to speak to influencers and journalists to get them to cover something about you. And, you know, so there is, a wide variety of kind of skills you're getting better at. And all of these skills are really kind of skills for the online world, you know, that you can use not only to create a better business opportunities for yourself, but also obviously to have a better CV and, maybe get a better job and so on. So I think blogging really gets you ready for things like working at a startup or things like being a journalist and areas like that.
I agree, and I think it helps. My opinion of it, and what you just said, is that it really does help people more than just the online world. You know, there's, when you start to get involved in the media world and you start to get that PR that everyone is so interested in getting for themselves and for their business, the better you get at it, the more opportunities you tend to have. And so it gives you an opportunity to start practicing and get ready. You know, I hear people all the time who are like, oh, if I could just get this opportunity, if I could just get this opportunity on this show, you know, my business would be doing great. And I always let them know, you know, it's not necessarily, you have to be able to deliver once you get that opportunity, and you have to be able to fulfill. So this is kind of a great way to start working people into that. Now, I know we're down to the last 5 minutes. Mom, did you have any other questions you wanted to make sure we got across, or anything you wanted to share in our last few minutes here?
Well, I actually, while you guys have been talking, I on my smartphone, I went out to Marco's website, and I wanted to just share some of the very cool topics that Marco has, and that, Marco, you actually demonstrate to people how to make some very interesting posts. So one of them was 35 ways to eliminate comment spam and boost genuine conversations. 51 quick hacks, I like that word, quick, that will make you write attractive headlines. I think that's important because I think so many people forget the most important word you can put in a headline is you. Would you agree, Marco?
Yeah, I mean, again, it comes back to, you know, speaking to the audience, speaking to the people that are reading. So, yeah, I mean, also, if I go through my Twitter feed and someone talks about you, it kind of makes me more attracted to click on it.
Right. Another one is how to start an email newsletter, which probably most of our viewers. Email is still a very viable form of marketing, so even though we're encouraging people to blog, you still have to go out and you still have to market your content. You have to take it, because people aren't just going to organically look for it until you're driving people to the blog. So how to start an email newsletter people look forward to. That's one I'm going to be reading because I'm working on that very, very thing. 8 marketing lessons to learn from Gary Vaynerchuk. I mean, your blog is loaded with a lot of information that our visitors, our audience could use today, and they don't need to procrastinate anymore, or they don't need to listen to the excuse, well, I'm not sure what to do. I'm not sure how to get a good headline. They just need to get started and go to your website. And again, let's see, we have a minute and a half, so go ahead and share with people how they can get in touch with you, Marco, and your website.
Well, yeah, so howtomakemyblog.com. Somewhere out there will be, you know, a contact me page, and you will have access to my Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, and obviously, as mentioned before, an email form which you can contact me on too. So very open, it's all out there.
Awesome. You know, I know at the beginning of the session here, Marco, you joked that you hoped you could come up with enough content to fill a full 30 minutes, and somehow we always end up running out of time to ask all the questions we want to end up asking, which I think is awesome. It shows that we're good at picking guests, and the guests we bring on have a lot of good stuff to share. So I highly recommend, guys, get out there, check out his blog, get in touch with him, and get started. It doesn't have to be a scary, intimidating process. Just get started. I guarantee it will make a difference for your business. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap things up here since we're right on the edge of time. I'm Stephanie, here for Anna. We're the Black Belt Sellers of Southwest and Central Texas. Thank you so much, Mark, for joining us. It was a pleasure to have you on the show with us.
Thanks for having me.